From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection for this hour was made back on July 6th when the world as we knew it changed. Before then, we could go to a park or out for a walk, and we would not expect to encounter people seemingly entranced by a thing called Pokemon Go. And just 1 month later, the world now seems to belong to two distinct camps, those that play Pokemon Go and those that just don't get it at all. I mean, at all. And right now, I am in the latter camp. But this hour, we are going to try to understand this phenomenon. Is it really improving the health of people who would be otherwise sedentary? Is it good for businesses with dozens or even hundreds of potential new customers or visitors coming out for these, I don't know what they call Pokestops? Are they Pokemon Go stops? I'm tripping over myself already. We're also going to ask, is there a downside to this at all? And how long can it last? It is time to Pokemon Go with our guests for the hour. Julia Koberline's here. She's a teen programming specialist at Macedon Public Library. Julia, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Peter Wisby's here, curator for Genesee Country Village and Museum. They had an event on July 29th. And we're going to talk about how that went. Nice to see you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Dr. Elizabeth Murray is here. She's a pediatrician with Golisano Children's Hospital. Dr. Murray, nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
And Christopher Brooks is here, innovation and entrepreneurship reporter for the Democrat and Chronicle and a big or biggest Pokemon fan.
It's probably your biggest.
Nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to mention to those who have been contacting the program over the last 70 minutes or so, as we mentioned earlier, we preempted coverage for Donald Trump's address on economic policy. Once in a while, NPR News will have us preempt what we are regularly scheduling, and we are going to be doing that probably later this week for Hillary Clinton as well. So equal time. But here we are talking Pokemon Go, which is Chris Brooks. What is it? I mean, I know for people this is really basic, and I don't want to be too basic, but I actually don't even fully know the right words to describe what it is. I know it's a game, but what is it?
So it's an app-based version of the really popular Pokemon game that has been around for decades now. And the only difference between the old games that people have been playing on their handheld devices and now is this is actually marrying Pokemon with virtual reality. So you can actually play on your phone as opposed to going out and buying a Game Boy or a Nintendo DS or something like that. It's a lot more mobile and people can play it when they're going on the go or at the doctor's office or in the park or something like that, like you mentioned.
And you played, you've been sort of a Pokemon fan since your younger days, yes?
Yeah, since the beginning when it first came out and it was on the Game Boy and you could only pick red, blue, or yellow versions of the game, and I got addicted ever since. Yeah.
Okay, well, and when you knew this was coming out, or when did you know Pokemon Go was coming out? Was there buzz about it before it launched?
No, I actually knew about the same time everyone else did, and I was sort of skeptical to download it because, you know, as much as I've grown up, I'm still playing the actual game on my tablet at home. So I was like, another version of Pokemon? I don't know if I have enough time for that. But all of my friends who I played with back home were like, you've got to get this game. You've got to get this game. And it was like a Wednesday or Thursday I found out. And I was like, okay, I'll download it over the weekend and toy around with it. And as soon as I opened it, I was like, oh. I'm going to have to choose between work and Pokemon.
You know, the Democrat and Chronicle has radios there. They can listen to the app on the WXXI mobile app. Your superiors may actually hear you say
that. That's true. They know. You know, they've been great, actually, because they let me toy around with it for stories that I've done there, too. So these last couple of weeks, I've been one of the few people in life that I can actually marry my work and something that I like to do on the side at the same time. So it's actually been great, and they know how much I love it.
All right. Dr. Murray, do you play?
I do, with my daughter, to help her. So, yeah, she's six, and actually mentioned some of her friends at camp were playing it and brought it up to me. I was of the Atari Pitfall generation, so
me too.
Never did the Pokemon myself. But also, given my job, you know, I keep up with these things. It might sound kind of silly, but I actually make a point of trying to keep up with these things. So, because parents have questions, so I try to keep up.
Okay, so you play a little bit. You're familiar with it,
yes.
And you posted earlier on Twitter that WXXI. What did you post there? We're not a Pokestop.
We're not here in the building, but right the High Falls sign, right down the street, very close to here is. So actually sitting in the studio before we started, I was able to reload a few Pokeballs.
Is that why, Julia Koberline and Doc Murray, my wife is a high school senior portrait photographer, and last week she had a shoot in High Falls, and she said it was unbelievable how many people were out. You're nodding, Julia. What does that mean?
Well, just looking at the map right now, I live in just over Wayne County, and so things are
sparser over there. There's such a concentration here in the city.
Concentration of
with
what?
With the Poke Stops and the Poke Gyms.
A Poke Gym.
That's another way to interact. It's using the Pokemon that you've caught, and then you've kind of trained them up a bit, and you can fight against other Pokemon within the gym.
I don't know what any of that means, but well, I guess you'll explain.
But there's four of these gyms right around here that I can see on my map.
They're physical places? You have to be there with your phone?
You have
phone?
To be within the range, to use those, as well as the Pokestops. And I just, as you were speaking with her about the Pokestop, I just got three Pokeballs and a lure. So, again,
Julia, I don't know what any of that means. Okay, so there's a lot of activity around here, sounds like.
Yes.
Which is probably why my wife could barely even get any photography done when she had this high school senior portrait shoot right around here. But let me ask Peter Wisby, who's the curator of Genesee Country Village and Museum. You know, the question that Time Magazine raised recently is, how effective is this for businesses? You know, can you hold events? Are there certain things you can do? You guys did something on July 29th. What did you do?
Well, my first reaction when I heard about this game was kind of hesitancy and thinking about trespassers in the after hours because I see, you know, there were people parked outside of my house at 2:30 in the morning because my neighborhood happened to spawn something rare. And so my first reactions were to, to be a little worried about our physical plan in our buildings, but then as I began to read about it and how it was attracting visitors to cultural attractions, museums, historic sites, often are identified as Pokestops or gyms, I began to think that this was an opportunity for the museum to capitalize on this, which may be a fad, but right now it's a craze. And so we oftentimes our events are planned months in advance, but within about 2.5 weeks, we put together something of an after hours event from 4 to 8 on our grounds. The buildings were closed. It was just an opportunity to wander around. And we had 350 people come to our we have 7 Pokestops and 2 gyms on the Genesee Country Museum property.
350 people?
350 people.
How many were you hoping for?
We were not sure what the response would be, so we were hoping for about 150. We thought 150 would be wonderful, and it turned into a real thing, which we were very pleased about.
Okay, but what's the impact on you? I mean, you end up with 350 people, many of which may be sort of getting introduced to what it is that you do, but how do you really capitalize on it? Can you really capitalize on that?
Well, I think it's a little too early to tell, certainly, but museums have had a hard time attracting a younger demographic, and museums in general from Williamsburg on down have been looking for ways to capture the 20-something families. And so this was an opportunity for us to at least show them a little bit of an inkling of what the museum was like and to hope that they would come back and, tour the museum when it's open. There were a lot of questions about the place. I did talk to a number of people who had never been to the museum before. One woman said it took a Pokemon event to come to your museum, and I've lived in Honeyoy Falls all my life. So we don't really know, but we're hoping that this is the start of something that will attract people to museums and cultural attractions and keep them coming back.
On that score, I want to ask Julia and Christopher, before I get to your phone calls, phone's already ringing. People want to talk Pokemon Go. And I will invite your calls as well if you don't get it or if you find any. Well, we haven't gotten to whether there are downsides. I don't know if there are. But if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. If you wanted to call Genesee Country Village and Museum, it's 294-8255. Peter was telling
me. Stop that.
Peter was telling me before the hour began, we have one digit apart. People call
my office.
Your office, hoping to talk to our talk show.
That's right.
I love that.
I'd be glad to
forward
them on.
But today, we're here together.
Exactly.
So if you need Peter for anything else, he's here, if you accidentally call us. But Julia and Christopher, on that score, Julia, for you, you're at Macedon Public Library.
Yes.
And what have you seen? Have you seen any way to leverage Pokemon Go to bring people out to new places?
Yes.
Yeah?
Libraries are loving Pokemon Go because it's bringing new people into the buildings. And, you know, hopefully then once they get in the buildings, they're looking around in between catching the Pokemon or getting the Pokeballs. They're looking at what resources are available. Oh, I used to read this author, or, hey, I haven't updated my library card in a while. So we're getting a little bit more either new involvement or like reawakening.
But are they disruptive to other people in the library?
Not in ours. So we're a small library, and again, we're just in Wayne County, so it has not been disruptive. In fact, we're getting questions about it when other patrons are seeing this happening. They're like, "What is that?" And so it's encouraging conversation about it. So it's not been disruptive for us, but we, you know, perhaps in a larger a city library, something like that, it might be a little bit more because there's more to engage with through the game. But we are seeing more people come in, and like our library's motto is connecting people and ideas. And so that's, we're kind of using this as it's a community builder. It's a way of encouraging all the different parts of our patrons to use the library however it works in their lives. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
Well, Christopher Brooks, as someone who not only loves Pokemon and Pokemon Go, but as an entrepreneurship and innovation reporter for the Democrat and Chronicle, you've had to cover this, and that's been fun for you. Are you seeing, is it too early to tell if there's a business impact? Or, you know, because I go back to what Peter said, he's hoping that some of those 350 people who had never been out there want to come back sometime. But that's going to take some time to see that kind of an ROI. Are you seeing anything else that says, yes, this is good for business?
No, I see the exact same thing. I mean, ultimately, you can guide a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. What Pokemon Go has been doing is really getting people to those businesses, and otherwise they wouldn't come at all, or they would rarely come. So you can't necessarily connect a Pokemon trainer to your cash register and have them bought something in your store. But the fact of the matter is, if that game wasn't created, that person would have never been at your storefront in the first place. Because the game is so early, we probably need a little bit more time to see tangibly what's created. But especially these businesses up and down Main Street, they need foot traffic more than anything, and that's what the game has created.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And speaking of using Pokemon Go to explore, Jenna from Pittsburgh is calling with exactly that kind of a story. Go ahead, Jenna.
Oh, Evan, I'm such a huge fan. So I've spent a month in Florida with my kids, and I was a single mom while I was down there for a month because my husband stayed here to work. And Pokemon Go was initially a distraction for my kids. They would explore around the park that we were at. But then we went to visit Tarpon Springs, Florida. And in Tarpon Springs, they have really used Pokemon Go as sort of their tourist map. So at every big tourist spot in Tarpon Springs, you could catch a Pokemon, you could whatever. So it was awesome to watch my parents, who are 69, 70, watch my kids follow this map, and my dad, who just loves my kids, follow them saying, okay, well, no, you've got it. Where are we at on the map? And help them navigate to catch these Pokemon. They were as adventurous as the kids, catching the Pokemon, helping them follow the map. It was great. But the businesses were offering discounts. So if you caught a Pokemon, then you got 10% off, or you got a free something, or you got a free French fry or whatever within Tarpon Springs. So it encouraged you to go into the businesses within Tarpon Springs. So they were using it as come in here and get something. And even at Orlando Airport, because once Bill joined us, we used it at our timeshare in Orlando, and at Orlando Airport, right in the airport, there was the same thing. It was, there were Pokemon spots within the airport. So I think everybody's sort of catching on to it and not using it as a distraction, but using it as how do you use it to connect and not make it obnoxious, but fun.
Well, Jenna, I hope everyone has your perspective on it. I mean, that is great, because I was going to ask, so before I let you go, Jenna, I'll ask you first, yeah, and I'll also ask the panel, do you see any downside to it?
Well, you have to please know too. I did have a downside. My one son did have a bike crash while playing Pokemon Go. So there was a bit of a downside, but you just have to know both sides of it and be smart.
Jenna, thank you very much for the phone call. And I want to turn to Dr. Murray on a couple of things here. First of all, let's work backwards. Jenna's child had a bike crash. I thought you were on foot with these things. I mean...
So there is a speed limit associated with it where I believe it's set at 40 miles an hour. If you are traveling at a rate of higher than 40 miles an hour, it doesn't register. So, yes, theoretically, you could be riding a bike. Of course, that's where the kind of teachable moment comes in. And that's what I really like about this game is that I think it provides every possible jumping point that you could ever want to talk about being a digital citizen, to talk about safety in your community, to talk about respect. All of these kind of things are wrapped up in this game. And so, yeah, it might be, of course, please don't ride your bike and do this game. Don't walk into traffic while you're playing this game.
Well,
all those types of things.
I wanted to ask you from your perspective as a doctor if you've heard similar issues with injuries, that kind of a thing.
You know, the things I've heard of have actually been in the 20-something year olds, because I think that's right now the biggest audience, that the younger kids are, for the most part, having a parent with them who are reining them in a little bit. I'm not aware of any major injuries locally. Of course, on the media nationwide, we're hearing about some things. But when you think about the fact that this is, I think, the most heavily downloaded app ever, to hear about the few incidences nationally, it's not so bad.
Okay. And when it comes to getting out and moving then, do you see, Dr. Murray, an upside in that way? I mean, I've heard from people who say, well, hey, it gets me out of the house, gets me off the couch. And I try not to be cynical, but sometimes I say, why do you need an app to get out? The world's amazing. Get off the couch. Get outside. But I know some people want a little motivation, and they say this game really gets them moving. You got Jenna saying not only does it get you moving, but you start exploring. You have some fun together. You see new communities. Do you see an upside there?
I definitely do. And I think, yeah, whatever the motivation you need. I mean, some people are intrinsically motivated to do marathons. That I will never run a marathon. You will never see me running a marathon. If you do, call 911 because I'm being chased. So, you know, if that's what people need to get out and have fun and you have a little motivation to do it, I think that's great, as long as you're being responsible about it, which I think that's where the museums and the cemeteries and the talk about all those types of properties need to come in, and people need to be aware of that.
Okay. And Jenna's mentioned her kids. You mentioned a lot of people in their 20s.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you get older, you start thinking you're 20. That was not meant to be pejorative. It's just sort of what happens with age. Is there an average age? I mean, I guess there's no limit. I mean, you can start. You said your daughter's six. No,
right. And we do it together, and she certainly struggles with it a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I'm out somewhere and I realize I can reload the Pokeballs for her, I will, because I think she uses a disproportionate amount with every shot. But that's okay. And we do it together. She's
Pokeballs,
never...
what you use to hit and capture
Correct.
A Pokemon.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So six is kind of young, but that can be done.
Sure. And she definitely can do it. And she's learning and she's having fun with it. And again, we're doing it together. I'm not sending her out in the world by herself to do it.
To all ages. Okay. So, okay, let me get back to the phones. And I'm going to go to Dot in Penfield. Go ahead, Dot.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me on the program.
Sure.
I'm the chairperson of the Penfield Community Victory Garden in Penfield, and it is a Pokemon gym. And it has been great for our community garden, because people who live in the area who don't know what we are or who we are, they walk right up, and we even put up a sign up welcoming them. So we think it's been really great for getting people to know what our garden is.
Well, and this has, Dot, stay there, because maybe you can help with this too. We had a number of emails that have come in from listeners who don't really play Pokemon Go and who don't really understand, how do you become a gym? Or Peter, what did you say earlier? You said this whole thing kind of got in your head when you, well, I forget the phrase you used, but you said something developed in your neighborhood, some kind of, what was it?
Something spawned in my neighborhood,
okay,
apparently
but,
around 2:30.
How did that happen?
These things are kind of pre-selected by the game developer.
Okay.
The Pokestops were based on a database operated by Google, so they picked cultural landmarks and other.
But they're not
things.
Looking at Rochester and the surrounding area in the Finger Lakes one by one with the developer picking up. It's based on some kind of an algorithm or something. Is that right, Julian?
Actually, there was a game that came out about 2.5 years ago called Ingress, and that was the forerunner for Pokemon Go. And I was playing that as well, but it wasn't as well certainly not nowhere near the numbers, and it's worldwide. And using that, you would they would have the users suggest portals in there. They were called portals instead of the Pokestops. And they just took community recommendations, and they built this huge map using the Google resources. And that is then what they've been – that's what they pulled upon for the Pokemon Go initial sites. But I believe – I understand that they are – there are some community members that are being asked to recommend sites.
Okay. So so that's how something, though, ends up getting –
getting chosen.
Chosen, spawn.
and then these Pokemon will spawn in certain areas. So we were finding, 2:30 in the morning, a strange car parked out in front of our of our house. Were they casing for burglary or were they catching Pokemon? And then, it happened two or three times in the first kind of couple of weeks of the Pokemon insanity, really. we hear about all of this, sort of the negative aspects of it as well. And it requires some kind of judgment on the part of the players, certainly, to, yes, don't play Pokemon in Arlington National Cemetery. Don't play it at the Holocaust Museum. Don't play it at the 9/11.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And there are ways for institutions like that to opt out and to have their stops removed because they're not just appropriate places.
All right, on that note, then, before I get back to your phone calls, and if you want to join the program talking Pokemon Go, trying to learn as much as we can about it and talk about how it's impacting our community, it's 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255. That has to be one of the downsides that Peter just mentioned, that if people are playing it sort of inappropriately or in inappropriate spaces or not respecting other spaces, that's one of the downsides, yes?
Exactly.
Okay. Any other downsides that you see, Peter?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the news stories we hear are often of the tragic things that happen and whether they're really, people shot, people... while playing it, is it a result of the game or is it a result of being in the wrong place at the wrong time? There are millions of people playing it, though, but we just happen to hear these kind of tragic stories.
Okay. Christopher?
And because the game is so new, there's a temptation for everyone to play it to, as quickly as possible, be as strong as possible. And when you go on that sort of adventure, it could become a point where everything else, responsibility-wise, in your world falls by the wayside, right? Because you're obsessed with getting that rare Pokemon or you're obsessed with the one that you got, making sure it's at the strongest level possible so that you can maintain a gym that's in your backyard. So groceries don't get bought. Yards don't get cut.
But you're describing video game addiction, not just Pokemon Go, right?
Right. But that's towards the teeter off once a game has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. You saw this with a lot of games that came out. Assassin's Creed was the same way, World of Warcraft, all these games. That initial couple of months, since everybody was new, it was like, I'm at the beginning of the starting line with everyone else. I want to be first, so I'm going to devote as much time as possible where everyone else is not as addictive. So Pokemon Go is at that same spot right now where everyone wants to be as strong as possible because you can stand out. It's still a young game. And the only downside I see is if you're not able to make sure that you're able to put it down when it's time to do your responsibilities as a person, then, that gets in the way of actually enjoying it and being, a citizen.
Dr. Murray, you were nodding when we mentioned the kind of the addictive part of it. Is that, in your mind, a downside?
I think it is. And I think that it's a balance that needs to be created because all of this technology is with us to stay. And a lot of this technology is being used very appropriately in schools, iPads, Chromebooks, all that type of stuff. So children are using these devices throughout their day for educational purposes. And then they come home and they can use it for different purposes. And so trying to strike that balance of the role of the technology in your life is very, very important. And parents can play a role in that just like teachers can too. So you have to set limits of, it's not just screen time. Screen time has evolved where we're using these screens for very legitimate purposes now, not just sitting on the couch and vegging out. So setting the boundaries and the limits of what are you going to be doing with your technology throughout your day should be a goal of every parent.
Okay. Julia, you see any downsides here?
The other downside that hasn't been mentioned yet is just the fact of the mobile device that you're using. So I've heard of nothing local but thefts, you know, people out and about, and they're so focused on where they're walking, what they're catching, that people run up and grab their phones. So phones being stolen, or again, because it's mobile, and although you are not supposed to do it, it is not safe. Just like they would text or make a phone call while they're driving, they're doing that while they're driving. And that's because it's mobile. And again, that's part of that. This is the age that we're in. We need to really learn the limits of where we what we can how we can handle it. So that's not a Pokemon Go issue, unless it is also that being in a place that wasn't appropriate at the wrong time. Yes, just because it's mobile.
All right, we've got Melissa, Laura, and Ellen on the phone who have different sort of experiences and a range of views on this. So let me start with Ellen in Brighton on your own experience regarding Pokemon Go. Go ahead, Ellen.
Hi. About 3 weeks ago, my husband and I went up to the shore just beyond Sea Breeze, where we love to buy an ice cream cone and walk out on the pier and enjoy the sun setting and the moon rising. And lo and behold, we ran into a Pokemon Go game. We had no idea what it was. We thought there was a free summer concert by the shore. And instead, we couldn't find a place to park. There were people literally shoulder to shoulder, the shoulder sitting on the ground, sitting on the sidewalk, sitting all over the parking lot. Hundreds of people staring at their screens, smoking, drinking their beers, having what appeared to be a pretty stupid time. Just, they weren't interacting. They weren't walking. They weren't exercising. It's my only experience. But you couldn't go up there to enjoy nature with the kind of throng there was. And a lot of cars were sitting there idling with the motors running so people could have air conditioning while they were playing this game in their cars. This makes no sense to me. And it really was kind of a real downer of an experience of an evening when we just wanted a nice breeze from the shoreline. So I'm thumbs down.
Well, Ellen, thank you for that, because, again, I'm not just trying to court the negative. I'm trying to get the full picture here. And for people like Ellen, Christopher Brooks, you know, that's not a very pleasant experience. She didn't get it, and unfortunately, she didn't even feel like she could move around in one of her favorite places.
So what Ellen probably saw is one of these, there's a handful of spots around Rochester that have somehow organically become like the best hot spots for catching rare Pokemon.
And what does that mean? That means that when you're in this particular spot, there's different kinds of Pokemon that you're trying to catch,
right?
And there are more exotic ones. Are they higher
exotic
value?
Is one way of putting it, but think of it this way: every Pokemon has its own type. There are water types, there are fire types, there are normal types, psychic types, and the way the game is laid out, you have a better chance of finding a water type if you're actually near water. You probably won't find a water type, say, in High Falls, just because there isn't a large body of water here. So what she probably ran into is a whole bunch of people sitting near the water, so that Staryus or seals or even Squirtles, they're kind of rare, they would pop up there. And it seemed probably in the moment that people weren't interacting because they were just looking at their phone. But I've been in those situations before. There are conversations. They're short because people are focused. But no one is sitting there like zombies staring at their phone, because something will spawn and everybody will say, oh, there's a dugong over there. Oh, there's a cloister over there, and make sure people go to it. So
What?
These are different water type Pokemon I'm mentioning. That.
But once someone sees a
a cloister.
A cloister?
Yes.
A dugong?
Mm-hmm.
Right. When somebody sees one of those, does everybody scramble for it?
Yeah. I mean, each person has the ability to catch that one. It's not just you can only catch that one and everybody else is sort of...
Oh, okay. So it's not finite. So we can all catch a dugong.
If it's out there, yeah. Uh-huh. But what we're just boiled down to is the probability of getting that water-type Pokemon happens at a higher rate if you're near water. So, and there's spots all across the city where there's a high concentration of people where you get certain types because they all want to go there.
Well, Ellen would like to tell the creators of this game then that summer beautiful nights and walking out near the water has become compromised by the dugongs and the cloisters.
Definitely.
Okay. She's not the only one, I'm sure, who feels like that. But Laura in Penfield plays with her daughter every night. Is that right, Laura?
That's right. Every night, my 17-year-old daughter and I have been taking walks, and we've been having a lovely time just walking and talking and catching Pokemon. It's been tons of fun, and I've really been enjoying relating with her at her level and getting to know this game a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm anywhere near as experienced as she is. She's trying to get me to her level, but it's been a great time, and I've highly enjoyed it.
What level? Is it a level? Is it levels, guys? What level are you? See, look at this. I'm getting the lingo down. What level are you on, Laura?
I'm only level 6. She's way in the 20s, so I'm not nearly there.
I don't know if 20s is really high. It sounds high to me. I go back to heart containers and potions and Legend of Zelda stuff, so this is really sort of out of my... But for you, it's been a good experience, Laura, yes?
It's been a great experience. It's been really fun. And we've gotten to know our community a little bit, too, which has been great.
Well, Laura, thank you for the phone call. That is really cool. I mean, Jenna had the same story. Laura's got this story talking about exploring parts of your community. And in fact, just last week, I mean, I go back to the conversation with Amy Crossed Reek, this woman who decided she's going to walk every street in the city of Rochester because she's lived here her whole life and feels like there's plenty of her own city that she has never seen. And so maybe that's a good thing. I mean, I just see some nods around the table. I mean, Julie, how do you feel about that? Can it spark us to see new places even if we have never been there?
I think so. And it sparks conversations, as you were saying, as far as, you know, they're concentrated on what they're doing. But at the same time, there's the number one question: what level are you? And the number two question: what team are you?
I don't know what that means.
So there's three teams, and it's
Slytherin,
not...
Hufflepuff.
You can get a Jigglypuff there. Or a Jigglypuff.
When you get to a certain level as a trainer in the game, they basically plop you into three different buckets, and they do that so that you can fight over sort of dominance of each of the gyms. So there's a team that's blue, red, and yellow. The yellow team is Instinct. The blue team is Mystic. I'm blanking on the red team. Was
Valor.
Valor. And so when you are on the game and you're looking at your map and you see a gym close by, it'll be colored red, yellow, or blue, and that lets you know which team dominates that gym. And so if you're on an opposing team, it's on you to go there and challenge that trainer so your team can take over that gym. It's sort of like a capture the flag thing, but there's just more than two sides. It's three sides.
I know Dr. Murray wants to weigh in, but just real quick, what level are you on?
12.
21.
Almost 8.
6.
Okay, so what's the highest that we've heard? I mean,
I think the highest right now is 30.
Like anywhere in Rochester, anywhere in the world, 30 is high?
I think it's maxed at 30.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody past 30.
Okay. All right, so 21?
23 is, I've seen somebody in Macedon.
Okay, yeah. All right. So I know you wanted to weigh in. Go ahead, Doctor.
So when it comes to joining the different gyms, you know, each gym has a mascot and kind of a mission statement, if you will, and characteristics. And so when we got to that point, we sat down, my daughter and I, and looked up the information and said, well, what does each team represent? And she kind of sat and thought about it and thought about the characteristics and said, wow, you know, do I want to base myself on my intuition or is it valor? Or one of them is really heavily belief in science. And so she really sat and we talked about it for a while and she thought about it for a day before making the decision of which team did she want to join and how did she want to represent herself. And I thought that was really cool. It's a neat way to look at it, is that she took some time to say, all right, how do I want to represent myself to the world? And again, that goes back to your digital footprint that you create in life. You know, these little children that are growing up now, they're going to be some of the first that from birth, practically, they have a digital representation out there. And from a very young age, we need to teach them how to represent themselves to the world in that medium.
I want to get back to the phones. Melissa in Rochester is next, but let me also add, Dr. Murray, you are somebody who I think takes some of my cynicism away from the mobile devices, because it's easy for those of us who grew up without cell phones and the internet to look back and say, oh, I wish my kids could grow up without that, you know, more uninhibited. And some of us get cynical about it. I don't think you spin it. I mean, I know you recognize the risks, but you see a lot of positive aspects, educational ways to use things sort of appropriately and positively. So thanks for at least eroding some of my cynicism with that.
If you're going to have a conversation, you have to be willing to change your opinion, right?
So, absolutely. And we're not getting rid of this technology.
No,
it's
here to stay.
The world is not going back.
Exactly right. And so we have to teach people to use it appropriately, and that's what we owe to the children nowadays, it's going to be with them for their life.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge of history museums, where we're talking about 19th century life and culture, and at the same time we have 7 Pokestops. So, you know, we just finished up this past weekend 2 days devoted to Laura Ingalls Wilder, and had great attendance. But at the same time, we saw the gyms changing hands, and we saw the lures on the Pokestops. So people were not only learning about old-fashioned laundry and how to do laundry and kind of 19th century life, but they were also using this as kind of an adjunct for their museum experience.
Yeah. Right. We're also on the 12th book of Nancy Drew in our house, too. So, you know, you can balance it.
I love that. All right, good conversation on balance here. Back to the phones we go. Melissa in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi. So a friend of mine just told me I needed to call in and talk about Pokemon from my end on it. I work at Parkley in Rochester, and I'm sure many people are aware we're a gift store, but we also have 2 Pokestops here. And the 2 Pokestops have obviously brought a lot of business to the store. And we can't complain about that. We're pretty happy about that. People come by, they set lures here, they hang out, they walk around the store, and a lot of times they'll buy something. So as a business, it's actually been very, very helpful for us.
Okay, so you've not only seen an increase in traffic, but people are actually buying.
Yeah, they're actually buying things, yeah. They're coming in. We actually, on the first day that we all, that right after the weekend where it all happened, myself and one of my coworkers painted a huge Pokeball on one of the windows. And it brought people up to the window, taking pictures, coming into the store. Hey, what's with the Pokeball? And I will say a lot of these people have never even been into Parkley because a lot of them were younger. So they may never have been in there. And then they came in and like, oh, look at this great store. And they walked around and maybe they bought some candy. And, yeah, it was a really great experience.
Well, Melissa, you also play?
Oh, I play.
How much are you – well, what level are you on? Is that the question, guys, we're supposed to ask? All right, Melissa, what level are you on?
I am so close to level 22. So close.
That seems really good.
What team are you?
I am on red team. Go Team Valor.
Team Valor. Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of my coworkers are also playing. So, and most of us, I believe, are all on Team Valor. And we're having a fun time with it. You know, we come in, we talk about what we're doing. I have also gone out to the pier. The one lady, Ellen, was upset with how many pokey people were out there. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm going to say pokey people. And honestly, I mean, I'm in my 40s, and so are, you know, my friends are generally around the same age, and it was great. We went out there, we talked to a lot of people, and yeah, we were catching Pokemon, but we were communicating with people I probably never would have met before or talked to or anything like that, and I just think that's wonderful.
Well, Melissa,
and we also enjoyed the pier.
You enjoyed the pier. Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for the phone call. Christopher Brooks?
I've never owned a business before, but I would say from a business perspective, one of the best things that can happen to you through this game is if someone came in and set off a lure. A lure is a device within the game that sets off a scent that wild Pokemon like, and it tracks you to them. And from a Pokemon trainer's perspective, if there's one spot that you can go to and you don't have to walk around and catch Pokemon and they're going to come to you, that's advantageous. So you set off a lure, and then all of a sudden a whole bunch of wild Pokemon come, and then the trainers come with it. So now you've got this small space where there's a lure off, and then it's a massive flooding to that area of trainers, Pokemon alike. And then that's when you get into the situation where people are buying stuff because they just happen to come to this gift shop. But it all started from the lure, so I just wanted to make sure people knew what those were.
All right, well, if you're somebody who feels like Ellen does, who called earlier, that everywhere you go there are pokey people and pokey puppies and Pokemons and Pokestops, you know, maybe it is frustrating to you. One of our semi-regular callers is Tim in Pittsford. He's sort of the hammer of reason, and he wants to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Tim.
Evan, I don't ever want to hear you say those words again. I feel dumber for hearing that. But I have been labeled a cynic. I like to think of myself as more pragmatic or a realist. But this is obviously the end of the world. My sister is a millennial. I love her to death. But it is the dumbest generation that we have ever
You are super anti-millennial. You are offensively anti-millennial, but go ahead.
I am. I cannot stand them. But, you know, I want to support my close family, so I have to deal with it. But is that enough? I get to deal with people driving around texting and tweeting all day, but now I have to deal with these morons. And I only use morons because I cannot swear on terrestrial radio. But I think you know where I stand on this.
Okay, but why? You heard me say earlier, I don't get it either with Pokemon Go, but I'm trying to be open-minded. Why does this bother you so much, Tim?
It is. I mean, the people are trying to call up and say, oh, well, we are communicating. They're trying to, you know, stand behind that aspect of it. But then they say, well, you know, I mean, we're all looking for... It's kind of like when texting first got big. Everyone has their heads down looking at their phone, bumping into each other. And if you have to drive around for your job all day like I do, and it's hard enough dealing with people. Every time I look over, half the people I look at, they're on the phone already. And now this comes up. I mean, I know the whole world is probably looking or probably playing this, but it just gives people more fodder saying, oh my God, look at these stupid Americans.
So for you, Tim, Pokemon Go is the line where we say the human experiment has failed. Let's see what the dolphins can do.
I am waiting for the sky to open up right now and just separate the people who play Pokemon Go from the rest of us. Very nice, very sound, very not even semi-intelligent, just normal people, and take us to a better place. And the Pokemon people, I don't know where you're going, but it ain't
going to
be good.
Tim, last point. Are you there, Tim? We lost him. I'm just going to say, Tim, there are probably Pokemon on your lawn, and you can tell them, get off my lawn. You can do that directly to the Pokemon. Tim has made his points. Let's see what the panel thinks. And Dr. Murray, you want to start? Go ahead.
Well, you know, sometimes you'll see on Facebook and stuff posts. I remember one where a man was sitting on a sailboat looking at his phone, and a whale swam by, and everybody said, oh, what a shame. Look, he's just paying attention to his phone. Well, you know, if he was reading a book and missed it, I don't think people would get upset. You know, I think a lot of the anger is towards the technology and the smartphone concept. You know, if all the people out at the pier were sitting out looking at the stars, or if they were all sitting in the sun reading books at the beach, would people be upset? If the parking lot was full because they were there for a concert, would this be as upsetting to everybody? I tend to think that some of the angst and the anger would be less if it wasn't phone-based or mobile device-based.
Okay. Other thoughts from the panel on what you heard from Tim? Nothing at all?
I would just say go Team Instinct.
Good.
Waiting to be sucked up into the...
A couple other comments here from listeners. Jake writes to the program and says, one topic you haven't even touched on is privacy. The amount of data that Pokemon app collects would surprise most people.
That is surprising, and I think something that's even more surprising is how few people out there know how to actually change your Google settings so that doesn't happen anymore.
You mean you can protect yourself? You can still play the game, but protect
yes,
your privacy? Okay.
Yes.
So what should you do, Chris?
Well, you normally, especially if you're basing it off of a Google account, you have to go into your Gmail account like you normally would to check your email and go into settings and turn off their privacy. You can do it the same way on your phone. If you log into your Gmail account, I think it's from your Gmail account if you have it on your phone. But it may be different from everybody's phone because everybody has different platforms, Android or iPhone or whatever. But the larger point I'm making is when you download the game, it automatically doesn't have that setting set to it. But people think because you don't see that right in front of the screen, you have no choice of being able to set that setting, but you can. You may want to take 5 minutes out of your life and go on YouTube and see how it's done, but the option is still there. I don't want people to think that as soon as you start the game, they can get all your info and there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay. Julia?
I have a teenage son who wouldn't forgive me if I didn't mention this. Computer security is his life, and that goes for any app that you download on your device. It was seen to be a big deal with Pokemon Go. The next day after that came out, there was a patch. It kind of took care of that. But any app you put on your device is going to want some preferences and things you may not want them to have. And it's good to know if they want control of your camera or your location or your call history. Sometimes I see get something like, I want to use this app. No, I really don't, because I don't think it needs to have my call history. So that's something that I think all of us with these smart devices need to be aware of.
Every time you post a picture of your child online, unless you've set your phone up in a way to block your location setting, the time setting, all of those types of things, that information can be found out so people can track where your child is.
All right, good advice. Just a couple of minutes left. One of our listeners sends a link along to CityLab from The Atlantic Online, and CityLab's article, quote, "Why It Sucks to Play Pokemon Go If You're Poor." And it talks about distribution of where people can find, I guess, targets and stops and whatnot, and that there's not a very sort of equitable and egalitarian distribution right now. I don't know if our panel here has thought about that. I find that a very interesting subject. And, you know, that's too bad if that's the case. But I guess that would, based on the algorithms or whatever they're using to create these, that may actually make sense. I mean, I'm not saying it makes sense in a good way. I'm saying it's probably correct to say if you live in impoverished neighborhoods, you may see less of them. Is that right? Yeah, from what we can tell?
As well as just the size of the community.
Yeah.
Sure. But I take a walk every night, and I'm catching two or three. I'm not a heavy-duty player. There's no way I can compete at a gym because I just don't have the Pokemon that are high level. But I enjoy catching them, and I talk back to them when they fight me and jump out of their Pokeballs. And I'm really looking forward. I've heard that they have plans on trading. So I'm, again, engaging with other players to trade the Pokemon that you've caught. So it is possible, but it's not, yeah, the Pokemon aren't as highly concentrated.
I was at the Memorial Art Gallery yesterday, mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon, and I saw a number of people just walking the circuit. There are a number of Pokestops. It's an open, sort of safe location where you can have a lot of success. People were sitting on the sculpture, in the sculpture garden, and dropping lures and having a social time. There were probably 25 or 30 people there on an afternoon. Whether that translated to attendance in the building itself, I don't know. But there are places where you can go to have a safe experience and with success and a number of Pokestops. So yes, probably in certain neighborhoods it's not so great, there are places where you can go and have some good experiences.
Okay, in 20 seconds, Chris.
The big separation is, especially from rural to urban, because remember, a lot of these stops and gyms are based off of cultural buildings. And if there aren't that many in your small town somewhere in Canandaigua, you go a long time between Pokestops, and you have to be really cautious about how you use them when you catch them.
Okay, well, a lot to think about. And I can tell you, the feedback this hour, especially email, this world is divided between pro and con Pokemon Go. It's people like Tim and people who've had experiences like Ellen versus people like so many others who say, look at all the positive things it's doing. Very interesting. I learned a lot, and I want to thank our panel, Julia Koberlein from Massanutten Public Library. Thank you for being here, Julia. Peter Wisby, Genesee Country Village and Museum. Congratulations on your recent event, and thanks for coming and joining us here.
Thank you.
Dr. Elizabeth Murray from Golisano Children's Hospital. Thank you, Doctor. And Christopher Brooks, you can find his work in the Democrat and Chronicle. Thank you
thank
very much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
They're going to go play Pokemon Go. I am going to get ready for the program tomorrow. Megan Mack, Rob Braden, and I will talk with you Tuesday on member-supported public radio.